Welcome to Wise and Worthy, a branded podcast from Worthy, dedicated to celebrating people like you as you navigate separation, divorce, and life after divorce. I'm your host, Karen McMahon. Did you know that your unused bridal set, luxury watch, or other diamond jewelry could be a hidden financial asset that helps you with that fresh start? But where do you begin? That's where Worthy comes in. Worthy offers a seamless solution by partnering with you to help sell your jewelry and get the best deal for your piece. Our quick and easy process means less work for you and more money when you sell. Visit Worthy.com to learn more. Welcome to another episode of Wise and Worthy. I am your host, Karen McMahon of Journey Beyond Divorce. And today's episode is about peaceful resolutions, a guide to managing emotional conversations and decisions in divorce. And today we're speaking with an expert in human behavior and relationship coaching, who is sharing a very unique approach that I'm so interested in, where she works with the divorcing couple through the process, guiding them in productive conversations that help to avoid unnecessary struggles and expense and open the possibility for a really healthy post-divorce life for the changing family. And so just a little bit about Karen before we dive in. My guest today is Karen McNenney, and she's a leading voice in the ever-growing field of human behavior and relationship coaching. She's a certified divorce coach, mediator, co-parenting specialist, crucial conversations trainer, gracious space facilitator, and live global radio show host of The Good Divorce Show. Through her signature Good Divorce Experience program, Karen works with couples to learn not just how to get divorced, but how to be divorced. We'll dig into that a little bit. Her coaching program covers such fundamentals as financials and budgeting, child-centered decision-making, custody and transition planning, and the do's and don'ts of navigating your new relationship with your former spouse. Karen resides in Missoula, Montana, with her two teen children and golden retriever, Moab. Hey, Karen, welcome.
Hello, East Coast Karen from West Coast Karen.
That's right. Very different parts of the world. So we've got these two Karen mix with you today, and we're going to just dive in. Karen, as with so many of us, there's always a story that leads to choosing this line of work. I don't think we grow up saying, when I grow up, I want to be a divorce coach. So can you share a little bit of your journey to finding this line of work?
Oh, I'd be happy to. And I agree. I think this line of work found me. It was not something I went looking for, nor did I go looking to get divorced like many of us. I had two small children, 5 and 7 at the time of divorce. And honestly, as I looked around and I sat with my truth, knowing this marriage was unraveling, I thought, I cannot be enemies with the father of my children. I cannot imagine us being in court battling against each other or not celebrating our children's, you know, most important moments through their life. And so I resisted divorce for so long because all I saw was what was being fed to me through media, through television and film and storytelling, and honestly, the tabloids in the grocery store. Drama, 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 and debt, debt, debt. Well, my first husband, and there's only been one and he's still alive, but I choose just to refer to him as my first, and he always will be. You know, we didn't have a lot of complexity in terms of assets or business or trust funds or even disagreement about how we would raise our kids equally across two homes and how we would support them. But it was really hard to navigate the emotional part. So it took us 27 months from the day in which we went into two houses until we walked out of the courtroom. And that was just ridiculous because when you're sitting in what I call the purgatory and the messy middle, the longer you sit in it, I believe the more damage can happen to the future relationship. So flash forward, through time, we were able to come out the other side. We live six blocks apart. We spend time in each other's homes. We've shared every holiday. We have regular conversations about our kids. And when our kids are standing on the stage or at a track meet, they can look out in the stands and they're going to see their parents and their grandparents and their whole fan club sitting side by side, which is what I've always wanted for them. I didn't want my children to also have to navigate and negotiate their parents' divorced relationship. Or to worry 20 years later, like, now I'm getting married. I'm gonna have an intervention with both my parents, and one can come to the rehearsal dinner and one can come, like, forget it. I'm not participating. And what I came to realize is that there's a lot of normal neurotics, just like me, out there in the world, who don't want to be married anymore, but also don't want a big inflammatory divorce. And I think that, within my community here in Western Montana, people knew this about our family. They knew this was a passion topic of mine, even though I was working in corporate America in organizational development and psychology and helping people with their relationships at work, which is a whole different podcast, but a worthy topic. We spent a lot of time in relationship with our coworkers. And it was through those avenues people would approach me and they would ask, Karen, how are you doing? How is it that you guys look so normalized? My favorite moment was when one of my children's coaches approached us after an event and said, here's the form for our upcoming events. Do you need two copies? Or I heard you're divorced. I can't really tell. Are you guys divorced?
That
And
was perfect.
that is a great compliment.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a side hustle, a friendly, can I have a cup of coffee? Can I pick your brain about such and such? And I always knew when people started to ask me about my own divorce before they were divorced, that's what I refer to as the packing the psychological parachute, what it might look like. And I knew people were curious about it. And I had one family approach me and just say, Karen, we know this isn't your actual thing, but could you help us? And as soon as I began helping that family, I just lit up like a light bulb. I thought, I am called to this work. People need and want this help. And even when I went through my formal training as a divorce coach, they said, we don't really train people to work with couples. We train to support one or the other. And I've always just stood strong. The best outcome, the most ideal outcome, which cannot happen for all of us, is when both couples are walking the journey side by side and that they have a shared vision of what it is that they want on the other side of divorce. And the legal component is one little thread in this whole tapestry of what we know to be family. And even though the marriage is ending, the relationship is not. If there are children involved, you are in relationship. So I like to say, I'm going to help you renovate your relationship.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and that's so true. And for those who can do that and who can set that as an intention, I just, when we had our conversation offline, I've been doing this for a lot of years, 14 years, and you are the first divorce coach that I've met who takes the couple through the process. And I think it's brilliant. And I'd love for you to share what that process looks like and what some of the features and benefits of doing this are, because it is very unique. In fact, so unique that I would imagine many people don't even stop to consider. We've gone to our marriage therapist, right? And decided that we're not staying together and we have to go our separate ways. And then in stage right comes Karen McKinney with McNenny rather with an option. Explain
Yes.
that to us.
Well, and you really hit the nail on the head that couples that are working with their marriage therapist, once the decision is made, we're going to dissolve. And this happened to my spouse and I. They graduate us. They say, okay,
All
good
right.
luck. And I thought, can we come back? Can we continue sessions? Like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to talk to my kids. I don't know how to build a transition schedule. I don't know how to live across two homes. I don't even know how to tell my parents. And the whole sort of venue, the galaxy of people that surround our family and our children. So I will go back to that moment in time, and we did get one more session with our couples counselor, and there were a couple of words of wisdom that really have stuck with me that I pass on to my clients. And you know, I think several truths come to pass. One is that as we're struggling in our marriages, often we know our truth long before we speak it. And we sit in that truth. And the danger is that unless the place is on fire, we don't think we should make an exit. So we start lighting matches and throwing them into the corners, and these little spot fires come up until finally we feel like we can justify to ourselves and that galaxy, the audience that sits around our marriage, to say, look at how bad it is. Of course, I have to leave. Well, my mantra is you can actually leave while there's still love. And that is a radical paradigm shift. It is part of what we protect going forward. So when I come to work with a couple, we start with a commitment, everybody, do no more harm. Do no more harm. There's already been a lot of damage done. So if I'm working with a couple and they're wanting to go back, well, you remember in 1982 and well, last week when, and I wanted, I'm like, doesn't matter. It's gone. That river, it is no longer with us. We are only future centric. So in terms of the actual work I do, I'll share an example with you of a couple that actually knew me through the corporate world, one of the spouses, and knew my work as a mediator in the corporate world and helping to build healthy teams and resolution and really just in the spirit of how can I help people bring the best version of themselves to their life every day in its very core. And so I interviewed the couple, they interviewed me, we spend our hour together, which I offer to everyone, whether it's together or separate, you get a free hour with me. This is the try on a pair of shoes before you walk out of the store. We want a good fit. And I also need to know it's a couple that's going to align with my mission around wanting a good divorce. So they said, yep, we've talked, Karen, we've looked at all the different options, and we want to begin work with you. And we got into our first session, and they said, okay, first things first, how do we tell our children? And I paused and I said, that is actually not your first thing. And they're like, well, but our kids have to know. I'm like, who says they need to know tomorrow or even next week? You have a lot of decisions to make first. And the first thing your kids are going to ask or wonder is, where am I going to live? Who, what's going to happen? Where will Santa find me? Right? In their age appropriate conversation, we need to meet them where they're at. And so very quickly, the family, the couple, they said, oh yeah, we're going to sell this house and then we're just going to go buy two new homes. And I said, okay, are you aware of what's happening in real estate in your community? And this was coming out of pandemic when the market was starting to explode, and they lived in a community that was very hot. Lots of people were moving. I said, so you're gonna, according to your plan, you're gonna put your house on the market. It's gonna sell in 3 days in a bidding war. You're gonna be homeless and rich, as will your children, and then you're both gonna go start competing in the same market for the same kind of home against each other and bidding against each other. So we have a whole bunch to sort out when it comes to real estate before you even talk to your kids. And they're like, oh, so there's real estate is a big piece of the divorce story. Who stays in the family home? Who doesn't? Do we nest for a while? Do we have to cohabitate in two different parts of the house, which you know from your own experience, Karen? And then how do we manage that? So there was a long time, including we're also going to talk to, the grandparents in this story, and we're going to talk to the family. So it's a whole communication plan. So in many ways, I become real estate advisor until we get your real estate time plan or people in place. I'm going to be your communications coach, not just to each other, but a communication plan, which might involve, I worked with one family, they owned a business together. They had a cadre of employees. It was very forward facing. It was like, well, we're not going to let this become gossip. That's going to be terrible. You're going to have employees who think that the business is also going to dissolve.
Right.
You don't want to lose all your employees in this process. So holding back and being very intentional. Maybe we need to have conversations with all the school teachers and the counselors so that before your kids get this news, their support system know what is coming. And then we'll talk about the conversation with the kids. I had one family who had a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. Those are two different discussions. So we spend an entire session talking about, what are your child's personalities? What information are they going to need? Who's going to need more information in a calendar and a countdown to when the move out is and the transition time? Should they be involved in that? Should they not be? So that's a big blast of all the peripheral things that happen before we even call a lawyer.
Moving past divorce is hard enough without your old engagement ring staring you in the eye every time you open your jewelry box. With Worthy, you have a selling partner you can trust who will help you transform your ring from a symbol of the past into a financial asset to help you start over. Worthy takes care of everything from insurance coverage to secure shipping, professional grading, and more. So when you're ready to sell, visit worthy.com. We're ready when you are. Divorce is like a foreign land filled with unfamiliar rules and jargon and pressure to make complex decisions that will impact the rest of your life. Don't go it alone. Go to rapidreliefcall.com and get the support and guidance you need. Yeah, I love that because that I think that people don't realize how many granular decisions need to be made. And then there's all those assumptions, we'll just do X. And so I'm just hearing that you really slow down the entire process. You really piece apart each of those decisions and help both parties to examine their assumptions, their goals. And I mean, even that piece with the kids, I love that it's slowed down enough that who's their support team that needs to be put in place and understand. And, I say this so often, it's like, if your kid gets upset by this information and starts doing poorly in school, and then the teacher's on their case and you're on their case when it's an emotional problem, not an academic problem, you're creating unnecessary stress for them. So I love your approach in that way.
Well, even taking the example, if a close family member had died, or there's a new baby in the house, or any big significant shift in the home, often we'll send a note to the teacher like, hey, just wanted you to know Jackson's grandpa just passed away. They were really close. There might be some, change in behavior and moodiness. We want you to be aware. Why would we not do that when it comes to divorce? And my short answer is because usually we sit in shame and isolation around this topic, to our detriment, to the detriment of the children. So by letting that support network know, we'll even go as far as recognizing, okay, who are Jackson's three closest friends? Let's let Bobby, Janet, and Joseph's parents also know. We don't want them sharing the information, but to know, because Jackson's friends might come home and say, oh, Jackson's mommy and daddy are getting divorced. Are we getting divorced? What's happening? And it might trigger something inside those households. So really creating this whole soft landing for the family.
It feels very holistic, like beautifully holistic.
That's a great word. And, you know, speaking of whole, not unlike your practice, part of the goal is that as people move through divorce, that they come out the other side and they are renewed as whole, whole within themselves. So generally when I work with a couple, you know, standard, and then we deviate as needed, I might meet with dad 1 week and mom that same week for an hour, or mom and mom, dad and dad. I am a very open, affirming. We've got a lot of same sex couples who also live in their own kind of shames, and even states where, well, geez, the marriage isn't even legal. How do we now do the untangling of our life? So I have a real passion for that part of our families who also identify differently than our standard heterosexual. So I'll meet with one parent 1 week for usually an hour, and it's their space to be angry, to be nasty, to get it all out, to cry, to have their fears, to have all their feelings, and to feel really witnessed and affirmed. And I give both of them that opportunity. I also, during that time, this is when my mediation and facilitation superpowers come into play. And I always say I'm more like a sheepdog, right? You can guide them, but they need to do it on their own. They need to walk on their own 2 feet or 4 feet, as the case may be for the shepherd. And I might ask them, like, so what are the big items in the house that for you are deal breakers? Like, let's talk about assets. You know, everyone gets sort of ignited around assets and belongings, and we start fighting over the ugly couch that no one really cares about, but there's something inside that that we care about, and it's the emotional part. And so I'm thinking of one family. They had a beloved family trailer, you know, lots of camping out here in the West. And they even named the trailer, you know, maybe it was Betty. Like, well, I hate Betty. I don't want to pull Betty. I don't want anything to do with Betty. But by damn, if he thinks he's getting Betty, there'll be another story. I talked to him and he's like, well, yeah, I feel like I've got the rig that can pull Betty, and I'll probably do more camping with the kids. And so before we even go into negotiations, I have a sense of where they both are. Then the next week I meet with them as a couple. And we usually have an agenda, so there's no surprises. Here's the things, and everyone gets to contribute to the agenda. What are we going to talk about? And we get them into the mindset of, you're now in the business of raising your children together. And we don't have to bring all the feelings to the business meeting. So we're learning skills. And then as a facilitator, mediator, divorce coach, I might say, let's talk about Betty. Now, I might have this wrong, but it's my understanding that dad has a rig and is a little more comfortable running around, and mom not so much. But so is Betty going to be sold? What makes the most sense here? Now, they've already had their tantrum or their processing around this item. And then very easily, everyone's already in their rational mind, because that's when we make good decisions, right? That executive function to say, yeah, it makes most sense for Betty to go with dad. But then I might want something else. And we've already talked about, so what would be the thing that would equalize the teeter-totter? We're always talking about, how do we keep the teeter-totter balance? And like, well, I really want to make sure the hot tub comes with me. If I'm not in the family home, I want the hot tub. Like, okay, is that an agreement we can make? And we make that agreement then. So as you were saying, this process that takes place, we don't do mediation in a day, in 3 hours. It's happening throughout. And I tend to work with couples, well, so far it seems to be 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months. They come in these waves. And by the time we call the lawyer, most decisions have been made about all assets. Most of the parenting plan has been drawn out and identified. We've had the hard conversations. We don't need to pay a lawyer for every email at $82 a minute. We don't need to pay a lawyer to sit with us while we go through the emotional. We really just need the lawyer to do the legal part, which is then to write up the document.
Karen, I am just loving this process. And so what's really cool is you're wearing multiple hats here, right? It sounds like you're the divorce coach, you might even be the temporary therapist, and then you take all those mediating skills. But because you've allowed them the steam to release from the kettle, right?
Yes.
You're dealing with people who aren't so triggered and reactive when you're actually having the conversation. It's like you have the pre-conversation individually, and then you have the conversation, and that's just so brilliant. And I'm sure there's coaching that happens in the pre-conversation when needed. And so I know there's more detail to your process, but if we could pull out big picture for a moment, what is your overall experience in how much has to, how much work the attorney has to do after couples have gone through this process with you?
Yeah, very little. Generally speaking, and when I'm working with clients in state, in Montana, where I'm located, then I can be very connected with those attorneys. Obviously, when I have clients out of state and I work with people all over the country, we'll do the research to find typically a collaborative minded lawyer or someone who is basically our neutral. They're making sure that we're abiding by the law, but they're not necessarily advising either party. But once everything's written up, everyone has freedom. Like, yes, take the decree, take the settlement, go to a third party lawyer, have them review it so that you feel solid in your decision making. Again, generally my clients who come to me start with, I don't want to screw them over. I want them to be stable. I want us to all have what we need. We just can't be married anymore. And I think there is a large population of people out there who identify for a good divorce experience. They just don't even know it's possible. They don't even know that it's an option. And so the lawyer we might, meet and have a high level overview of, these are the assets we're looking at. This is what employment looks like. We need to do a calculation for child support. And then the lawyer will go away, start to draft up some of the decisions that have been made. We'll come back, we'll review that collectively, and then we'll meet a third time. Here's the final document. What questions do we have? We're going to sign. If they're here in my community or within driving distance, I will go to the courthouse with them. We will submit paperwork. I bring a new plant and a card, a graduation card for all of my clients, as a little symbol of there is growth on the other side of this. And often I'll again, my local clients, I'll give them plants in the same pot that are the same plant to go in their two homes, realizing you're raising the same set of kids. When you water this plant, when your kids see this in your home, that's going to be present. I want them to have these sort of ritualistic and symbolic reminders. And we forget, I mean, when we get married, talk about symbols and ritual and rings and words being spoken and people blessing. Like, we go way deep into symbolism and ritual and bringing our marriages together. And I really believe that there is a place for that. And that's my therapeutic training and background that I did overseas in London through the Central School of Speech and Drama. It is an integrative art therapy influence. So symbol and ritual, written word, all of that is really important. And it allows me to meet my clients where they're at. Not everybody's into touchy-feely stuff. I try to read the room, and I can provide different things to both of my clients in that relationship. And there's often tears on the closing day. I have lawyers who turn to me like, where do you get these people? I don't understand. Like, well, we don't just go to war. That's not where we start. We're protecting their future. Yeah. That's my work.
It's such beautiful work, Karen. I mean, it's priceless. I am so glad that we crossed paths and that you were able to come on and share. And this is called The Good Divorce Experience. Is that the name of your program? So Could you tell our listeners where they can find you, about your podcast, about your program, and anything else that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah. So if you want all the letters, you can find me at KarenMcNenney.com. But you can also just go to thegooddivorcecoach.com. So that's an easy one. And the Good Divorce Show. I also want to highlight, you know, Karen also has been on my podcast along with a lot of other professionals who work in the industry. So you'll find therapists, you will find other coaches, lawyers, mental health professionals, but I also highlight families that have done it well. One of my commitments is to broadcast examples. So sometimes I have both the couple on the show talking about their divorce journey, and it maybe is 2 years later or 12 years later, and how they've raised their kids, the kindness, the respect, the rapport. I think a lot of times why we don't lean into a good divorce experience again, because we don't know what it looks like. We don't even know that it's possible. So again, storytelling is one of those rituals as a human species that's so powerful. So I invite people to come on and tell their story. Sometimes it might just be one partner, simply because the other partner is shy or they don't want to be on a podcast, and an individual will talk about their own powerful journey. The other thing that has started to happen in the podcast is I will have a parent and an adult child of divorce talk about their experience, and the child will reflect back, I remember this moment. I remember you and Dad doing this. I remember us always having Christmas together. I had one couple, a mother-daughter duo, 40 years after the divorce was announced.
Wow.
So daughter is now a parent herself and married, and they sat down together. Father has passed away, which I think part of their freedom was like, we can speak about this whole story freely now. And then just in the end of season one in 2023, my own daughter said, well, maybe I should come on your podcast. I have a few things to say. And I thought, do you now? So as a family, her younger brother, her father, we all talked about that. We recorded. I said, everyone can hear it before it's broadcast in case there's anything that we don't want to put out there. But she had, from first grade to high school, had lived across two homes. And last year she went off to college. So she was living in one location, was an adult, and was reflecting on this mother of hers who became a good divorce coach. It was a really powerful conversation, and I was really proud of what she had to say. I was proud of the things she was surprised by. One moment she said, wait, you had a parenting plan? What do you mean there was a parenting plan? I thought, that's the best parenting plan of all, the one the kids don't know about.
That's beautiful.
So, Good Divorce Show will give you a big variety of stories, support, expertise. I do primarily support couples. You can find that at thegooddivorcecoach.com. But also know that I have individuals who come to me to support them one-on-one through their process, or even in your own practice, as you know, we'll have people come to us 2, 4, 5, 10 years after the actual divorce because something new has developed that they need support with. And we as a coaching community are there to bring something that I really feel is unique and very needed. And I'm just so proud of all of the pioneers who have come before me, such as yourself, Karen, and really said, we may not have a law degree, but we have a whole lot more that you're going to need in the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, for everyone listening, if this is your desire, please check out Karen's site and listen to her podcast, and especially those stories. Stories are so powerful. And Karen, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for doing what you do in the beautiful, unique way you do it, and for coming on and sharing your wisdom with our listeners. Very much appreciated.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing my story.
And we'll be back again real soon with another episode of Wise and Worthy. Until then, you take care. Thanks for listening to Wise and Worthy, a branded podcast. Worthy is a selling partner you can trust to help you get the best deal possible on your diamond jewelry. Visit worthy.com to learn more and get started. If you have questions about an episode, compliments you'd like to share, or would like to be a guest, please email us at podcast@worthy.com.